was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Oh, when love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Oh, when love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Oh, faithful, loving service to him belongs. Oh, when love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Oh, when love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. I was a mess, lost in my sin. Your love has lifted me from the pit. Thank you, God, your love has lifted me. Not by my strength, but by your grace, sin's not my master anymore. Hallelujah, your love has lifted me. I was a mess, lost in my sin. Your love has lifted me from the pit. Thank you, God, your love has lifted me. Not by my strength, but by your grace, sin's not my master anymore. Hallelujah, your love has lifted me. Master of the sea, billows his will obey. Oh, he your Savior wants to be saved today. Oh, when love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Oh, when love lifted me, love lifted me. When I thought my sin was too much, when I say I'm not good enough, when I think it won't be restored, Jesus will lift me. Oh,
morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone. Thank you for coming and joining us here today and being part of this time of worship. It is an exciting day for us. We are here to come. We've come together today to ordain Kate Honeycutt Bradley to, we all knew her as Kate Honeycutt, but she's Kate Bradley now. We are very glad to be able to come to this time and celebrate this day with her. She has been in this church since the day she was born, and it is, we've watched her grow all of these years and saw this coming years ago. She has been one of those individuals that you could just see the Holy Spirit working in many years when she was even a child. And so we're excited to be able to be here to celebrate this day with you and to be able to enjoy what this day means, not just for you, but for also for us and for this church and for the kingdom of God. For the rest of you, thank you for being here. If this is your first time here, a lot of talking to her now, so I'll talk to you for a minute. If you're here for the first time, there should be a connect card in the pew rack right in front of you. We hope you'll take that and fill it out. Let us know that you have been here. We will try to be in touch with you and give you a proper welcome. If you have prayer concerns, put them on that same card. Drop it in the offering plate, and I promise you that we will respond to that. Our prayer teams will be praying for you and for whatever concerns that you have. But whatever reason you have come here today, we're glad you're here. We hope that you will come back and be with us more in the future. Today is a day that our Lord has made for us to be able to come together to worship and to celebrate. Let's begin by praying. Lord, I thank you for this day. I ask you to invoke your Spirit upon this day. Help us to know that you are here with us, that you are here to fill us with your grace and your love. We come here, O Lord, to experience you and to offer our best to you. Let everything that we do here be pleasing to you, and let it fill our hearts with your presence and with your grace, that we might live to be what you would dream of us being. For it is in your name we offer our prayer. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
You want to sing?
In the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever.
Worship. Good morning. Yesterday's done. You know? It's done. Tomorrow we don't know, do we? If you do know about tomorrow, we would like to meet with you right after the service and find out how you know. But we're here right now, and God is here with us. Let's thank Him together. Oh, God, thank You that You are timeless, that You are not limited in the ways that we are limited. You don't get stuck in the past. You don't fret about the future. Oh, God, we do. We do both of those things. Help us this morning to remember that You have limited Yourself willingly before us. Jesus, thank You for understanding our humanity. And not just Your empathy are we grateful for, not just that perfect understanding, but because You were victorious beyond Your humanity, Your perfection rose gloriously. And so we sing today, because You live, we can face tomorrow. Because You live, all fear can be gone. Let it not just be a song today for us, God. Let it be truth for us. Let it be redemption. Let it be healing. Let it be a fresh start on this day that You have made. Thank You. And Jesus, as much as we enjoy being in this room together, being family, belonging to one another, we know that it's more than just about us. So help us to be mindful as we leave this place this morning that not just Kate, but we all have been called and ordained by You, empowered by Your Spirit to love others as You have first loved us, all others that You show us. Jesus, help us as we pray together to feel the unity that comes from this prayer, but may the world feel the power as it embodies us. Join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I am so beyond happy and moved to be here. And now that, you know, Tommy has given me this nice little podium, I can make fun of him, but not too much, because I want him to move it again later. dear church, I'm just so grateful to be speaking with you. And as you will soon find out, I have gotten even more nerdy upon leaving here. So before we dive in, let's pray together. Holy and loving Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for this time that we get to set aside and study your wonderful living word. Let this be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. So Christmas time is beautiful at this church. The decorations are even maybe more beautiful than the Easter ones. The anticipation of the coming day, of course, is tangible. And the traditions are wonderful. I love the Christmas mon tree up here, and I loved the live nativity growing up. It was the envy of everyone to have the honor of being the angel. I'm sure Greg can remember us all fighting about who would do that. And when I wanted to be a little kid, I just wanted to be in the nativity scene at all. It was all I could wait for. But I think one of the most special traditions is the Christmas musical every year. And after many, many rehearsals, it comes together, and it is always such a wonderful day to enjoy together. And I can't remember the title or really anything that happened, but in fourth grade, I was just blown away by the musical that year. And I remember sitting about where you are, Catherine, and thinking, this is true. Christ really came as a little baby, and Jesus is for me. And Christmas is about proclaiming the marvelous mystery of the incarnation. God became man for us, for the church, for the world. And Blacksburg Baptist boldly proclaims this truth. They proclaimed it to me, and they continue to proclaim it every year. And in today's passage, Paul reminds the church of Philippi of the truth they already know to encourage them and to help them better live out their witness to Lord Jesus for the world. So let's allow the apostle to do the same for us today. If you have your Bible or your phone, if you'll turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 through 11. Remember, when we're reading these words, we're actually eavesdropping on a very personal conversation between Paul and a church that he loves and knows deeply. Unlike in many of his other letters, Paul doesn't have to defend himself as a teacher or apostle. It's kind of a nice break because he can be real demanding and sassy about it. Paul presents himself as a fellow slave to Jesus Christ. He's writing from prison to the Philippians, most likely in some sort of house arrest. And he wants to give them an update as well as encourage them as they're facing difficult trials as well. So now let's hear these words. Philippians 2, verses 4 through 11. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This beautiful poetic passage is commonly called the Christ hymn because of its rhythmic nature in Greek. The poem was likely something that the church in Philippi already knew and recited often to teach the gospel. It's often cited as one of the key Christological passages in the whole Bible. And Caroline, that means, that's my sister over here. And Christological is just a fancy word for about Jesus. That's all. Don't worry. Scholars love to debate what every line means for the nature of Jesus and for salvation and for the future. And this is all well and good to do, but why would Paul, in prison, waste precious ink to just share a hymn his audience already knew? The answer resides in the introduction to the hymn. Just before our passage, Paul exhorts the Philippians to live out the gospel in love in one spirit, even as they suffer. I translate the end of this appeal in verse 4 as saying, don't just look out for your own selves, but also for each other. Whatever happens, the church needs to care for one another. They cannot live out the gospel alone. If you have any hope in Jesus, Paul writes, you must serve one another. Dear church, we all need a reminder to care for one another. As central to our faith as it may seem, the hustle and bustle of life, we forget to do this. In our own suffering, we neglect each other. And we often miss opportunities to be helped. Loneliness and longing run rampant in our era, and I believe we can only ease this by experiencing true community. Verse 5 links Paul's call to serve one another to the Christ hymn. And again, it's this hymn the church already knows. So this verse, Paul begins the hymn not with a suggestion, but a command. The hymn is offered as a call to action. Have this mindset in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Taking on the mindset or attitude of Christ means practicing to be like Jesus. And although no one will ever get it perfect, it is nevertheless central to the church to do our best in making ourselves lower. Now we are finally within the hymn proper, and it tasks the hard work of this incarnational theology. Verse 6 read, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited or grasped, seized. This is really similar to the Gospel of John's preamble, in that Christ in his co-eternality with the Father was essentially God, being in the very form of God. Form is offered to describe the outward display or inner reality of substance. Paul describes this elsewhere in Colossians. For in him, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. Exploited or grasped shows us that Christ did not have to strive to be God. It was his right. It was who he was. Verse 6 places all of our humility in the context of the most humble event that ever transpired. everything that God is became everything that we are. Verse 7 describes the self-emptying of Christ. We don't need to worry exactly what was being emptied. It is a poem. It's a hymn. It's like a way of saying that Christ poured out himself, putting himself totally at the disposal of people. Christ utterly abandoned himself in service to God and to others. This is the moment the incarnation happens. God put on flesh. And this is why this passage is a Christmas story. God became a baby. God grew into a man. But not only did Christ humble himself to become a man, he died. And Jesus died the most shameful, humiliating death that existed in the Roman world. Death on a cross. The death of criminals and rebels. The cross was a sign of Roman power, not a nice accessory. No God, no Jewish Messiah would be a crucified God. It just doesn't make sense. And yet, this is how God reveals himself to us, in utter disgrace. Before we continue to finish our close reading of this hymn, remember that Paul is demanding the Philippians to be like this Christ, the humiliated, self-emptied God. And I continually wonder how we can be like that today. And fortunately for me, I grew up at Blacksburg Baptist. So I've seen it. We have a long history of members and teachers sacrificing for others. The classic example when we were growing up in Sunday school and ACT teams was Dan Carper. He always picked up trash every Sunday morning before church after the town partying. And we knew as kids that that was how you served, but we were not going to wake up that early. No. Another way is how countless people cared for little Honeycutt girls and lots of other children in every stage of life. As a children's minister, I know now it is really hard to feel like you are missing your grown-up time. It is a sacrifice. But to me, the most vivid example of lowering yourself is foot washing. Many scholars connect Jesus washing the disciples' feet in John explicitly to this passage, and they do lots of fun, cool things where they show how it's really like the same, and they probably have the same tradition. And I really do see why. Even though our feet were not quite as nasty as the first disciples, our ACT team's leader, they both washed all the girls' feet one devotion time during retreat. You remember this? Yeah. And then Eva Redig got down and washed everybody else's. Just because she felt like the Spirit was moving her to do so. Sometimes serving one another means getting lower than we feel we should. And indeed, that is Christ-like humility. Dear BBC, I know that COVID has been hard on all of us. Sometimes it's impossible to think of serving someone when you already feel low and scared and tired. I'm just tired of COVID. But please know that you can do this because you already have. You've shown me more care and love than I deserve in 10,000 ways. And since meeting people who grew up in different churches, I know I was spoiled by y'all. because as a child and a teenager, Blacksburg Baptist always felt like an extended family. You all taught me how to serve and how to love people well. If I can, I'm going to jump back into the poem. I'm getting all kinds of feels. The second stanza reveals all that Christ's humility has accomplished. We've already sung about it beautifully this morning. The poem doesn't explicitly say resurrection, but make no mistake, Christ is exalted because God has raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus vindicated and validated him as Lord. The word Lord may sound antiquated to us, but in the first century Philippi, Caesar is Lord. Proclaiming that the resurrected Jesus is Lord means saying that the emperor is not. Being part of a community of Christians means that we share this belief that something is more important than the desires of our culture. We confess that Jesus is the sovereign of our lives. Loving God and loving others is more important than anything else. In the final verse of the hymn, God's purpose in giving Jesus the name is finally expressed. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The key word there is should. Some people have misused this verse to talk only about what will happen in the future, and that everybody is going to be doing this, that everyone will bow down to Jesus. But it should. So this is a word for us, for the church, for right now. We should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And dear church, you have shown me that Jesus is the name to be praised in all times and places because he is love. I learned this from you. In Sunday school class, before I could write my ABCs, I knew that Jesus loved me. You have shown me this by supporting me during middle school and high school and as I went off to college. You all gave me the sure footing when my faith was tested at Mary Washington and beyond. Through your sacrifices of money for me to go on trips, of your time to get coffee with me or to go on great trips or to teach Sunday school, your talents, your presence, you offered me the gift of knowing that the resurrection was true. The love of Jesus was real and is real now. Blacksburg Baptist, I love you just as Paul loved this church in Philippi. And like him, I'm just here to tell you what you already know. The message we proclaim about a crucified Christ who is exalted as Lord is hard to assert in the 21st century. And it's even more difficult to embody this message. Remember that you cannot live up to the standard Paul has set alone. This is for all of us to keep working on together. So let us keep offering one another a selfless love so the world can see what sacrifice is. Jesus isn't walking around, but people should see our church and indeed the church universal and say, this is what love is. Don't look out for only yourself. Look out for one another as Christ loves us. This is a challenge, but I know that you can be the incarnation you are for me. Amen.
Kate and I did not plan this together. And I want to thank you for the message you just brought. That was a wonderful, not only affirmation of Jesus, but an affirmation of the church you grew up in. And we all thank you for that. We didn't plan this, but here's the scripture that I had planned for the charge to the candidate. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during the supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around him. Sometimes God just kind of pulls things together, you know, in the way that we don't always expect him to do so. Years ago, on a Maundy-Thursday service where all of the downtown churches in my hometown were gathering to have the communion service on Holy Thursday, we gathered at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I had never been to a Seventh-day Adventist service. We were going to hold the Lord's Supper that night, of course. But when the Seventh-day Adventists come together to hold the Lord's Supper, they always wash feet. I had never been to a church that did that, had never seen that done, found myself enormously uncomfortable to be doing that. Everyone was pairing up and going to wash one another's feet. I went forward and sat down in a chair, and this elderly gentleman came up and he sat down beside me, and we were to wash one another's feet. And he turned around, looked at me, and he said, "You feel uncomfortable, don't you, young man?" I said, "Yes, I do. I've never done this before." And he said, "Then let me go first." And he got down and he washed my feet. And when he got to the end of it, he said a prayer and he said, "Lord, bless us all that we could step into the places where we are uncomfortable and bring the comfort of Jesus to the world." Today, I want to commend you for coming here and preaching to this church. And I want to commend you for giving your life to the servant ministry of Jesus Christ. And Kate, I want to charge you with something that is something that all of us have to learn as we go into the ministry, is that we are called to be the servants of an uncomfortable world, is that our job is to go to those places where it's not always comfortable and to go to those places where the people that we are trying to serve are not comfortable, and to do the best that we can to bring the comforting love of Christ to them, sometimes the challenging love of Christ. And sometimes when you bring the challenging love of Christ, it's going to become uncomfortable for you because the world around you is going to make sure that it is. And yet, even when it is uncomfortable, it is still our calling to step into that discomfort and to do all that we can do to bring the love of God to life, just as you proclaimed just a moment ago, that we will do everything that we can to try to show the world that is around us that there's another way and a better way. It may be a challenging way because sometimes showing love does not just mean putting your arm around someone and giving them a hug. Sometimes it means going to them and being willing to challenge where they are and what they are doing. Sometimes it means being able to get up in a church and challenge a church to think in ways that it never imagined thinking before, and to step into a very different way of doing things to try to show what Jesus would want to show. When Jesus decided to wash feet that night, it was uncomfortable not for him, but for everyone whose feet he washed. He seemed to have no trouble at all getting up and washing the feet of his disciples, even though they were very dirty, but it made them uncomfortable because only the lowest servant in the room was supposed to do that. And yet in that case, they would come to realize that the highest servant of the room put himself in the lowest position to try to show the most amazing love the world had ever seen, and to try to remind them that sometimes our calling is just to step into the world that is and to make it uncomfortable, and in the process, to try to make the world even more comfortable with who God has called us to be. That's the charge that I give you today, is to be willing to wash the feet in whatever form that comes. You have been part of this church since you were just a little girl, and we have proof of that. We have proof of that. There should be a picture up there. Okay, David, you're fired. Mean that in the most Christian way, though. But anyway, we had a lovely picture of you as a little girl when you were here in the church. And we've been watching you all of these years to be able to celebrate what it means to be servants of Jesus and watching you become that. And we thank you for listening. We thank you for listening to the music. We thank you for listening to what others taught you. We thank you for watching what God was trying to do in your life from the time you were a child. And we thank you for being willing to come to this place today and say, this is what I want to do with my life for the rest of my life. Blessings be to you now and forever. Todd, would you lead our litany of service for us?
Kate, when I arrived at Blacksburg Baptist Church, you were a bouncing, bubbly little ninth grader. And I noticed you had never met a stranger. And I tried to step in to some big shoes that Jeremy had left not long after I got here. And it was my privilege, although not planned, to be a youth minister to you and so many others during that short period of time as we waited on Gregory to get here. I knew I could always count on you to help others calm down. I knew I could always count on you to bring life to a room that was dead. I knew I could count on you to pray when nobody else wanted to. I knew that I could count on you to pastor your peers, and you did that beautifully. I can see you and Eva and Brittany Fan huddled up together, sometimes listening to show tunes and singing them incessantly. I think Wicked was one of those at the time, yeah, and we'd often have to bring that back. But Todd, Kate would say, it has everything to do with Jesus. Yes. Kate, what a pleasure it is for us to be a part of your family. And this had to happen because your mother is the church lady. I want you to now join me in a litany of service. Lord Jesus, you have called us to serve and you have bestowed upon us your confidence.
May we be willing.
We have come here to ordain Kate Bradley to the ministry of the gospel. May this act of blessing forever remind her of both your confidence and our confidence in her.
Fill us with your grace, and we may fully celebrate your call to her.
Make us mindful that your call to ministry is no small summons. Remind us that this moment is an act of both faith and commitment. Kate, will you accept this ordination as a blessing from God and your church family? And will you commit yourself from this day forward to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I will.
Amen.
In a spirit of unity and joy, let us celebrate this ancient ceremony of the laying on of hands. This is an ancient ceremony. It's a ceremony of blessing. It's a ceremony of confidence. It's the declaration of the church in having confidence of the one who is proclaiming that they are intending to be the minister of Jesus Christ from this day forward and forevermore. Today we have come here to celebrate this ancient ceremony, and we are doing it with representatives of the church. It just occurred to me as Todd was talking, Kate, that you wore out 3 youth ministers during the course of your time.
That's not on me.
Maybe we need to rethink this. Kate, if you'll come and sit here. One of those youth ministers was Jeremy Racer. Jeremy is going to come. The other is Greg Harrell, who is going to participate in this laying on of hands. And then, of course, Ty. Deanie Heath could not be here today. Janet is our vice chair of the deacons, and Janet Harrer is going to represent this group.
She was also my Sunday school teacher.
Do what?
She was my Sunday school teacher.
Oh, she was. She was a Sunday school teacher. Oh. Well, that explains a lot. Let's pray as we begin. Lord Jesus, let your spirit be upon us as we begin this time with the laying on of hands. Let your spirit be upon us. Let your grace live through us. And let Kate know that forever and eternally, you will be on her side. And we will love her and care for her and pray for her as she carries out the ministry that you have called her to do. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Holy God, it is a holy moment that we have in this place. It is a time when we come to this church not only to recognize one who's committed themselves to your service, but to bless one who's come. We pray, O God, for every blessing that you can offer to Kate. We pray that she will never know a day in her life when your love is not real to her. That she will be willing to step out and serve you in whatever circumstance she finds herself. And that she will be willing to try to embody the best that you have to offer to the world around her, because it is through us that they see you. Thank you for coming to this world. Thank you for showing us what our God is really like. Help us to do the same, O Lord. Help Kate to do the same. For it is in your name we offer our prayer. Amen.
Over you, in your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name, 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing. Circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise he is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, he is stronger, he's the God of possible. I pray for your healing. Circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Power of His Spirit is now forever. circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray for a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. And I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. I pray that the dead will come alive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Kate, come join me at the front one more time. This is your certificate of ordination from our church to you. It is as official as it gets to be able to read your name for the very first time, the Reverend Kate Honeycutt Bradley. Please. It's a special day for us, and we hope it will forever be a special day for you. And now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.
This day and every day, now and forevermore.
Amen. God bless you, everyone.